What it is, Brad Lee back again with another episode of Dropping Bombs. Today in the studio, folks, I've got a real badass for you. Nick Koumalatsos in the house. What's happening, buddy?
What's going on? Thank you. You said my name right. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it does look difficult to say, but it does say that.
That's exactly what it says.
If you just read it, yeah. it'll sound maybe just like that.
Yeah.
Because that's Greek.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Folks, if you guys don't know this dude, he's a seasoned entrepreneur and business coach with a background in special ops, driving force in the world of business. He started Johnny Slicks, which is an organic grooming brand.
Mm-hmm.
Grooming, not beard.
Correct.
So, like, organic grooming. Give me some background on that.
Like, yeah, soaps, hair pomade, shampoo, conditioner.
Why organic? Were you a hippie?
No, my business partner might be a little bit of one.
And so one day you guys were sitting around and said, hey, man, let's make some organic shit.
That would be like you would think that's the way that it goes. No, it's a much more complicated story than that.
Well, I don't like what this is doing to my beard, so we need to find an organic alternative.
I sent you a box.
Well, I don't have a beard.
Well, you got hair.
I do appreciate
you bathe,
it. Huh?
And you bathe, and I know you like smelling good.
That I do.
Johnny Slicks, I'll just cut to the chase before we get into the story. Johnny Slicks will get you laid. Guaranteed.
Now, that's a bomb, fellas. Now, Johnny Slicks, cool name, clearly.
Yep.
You said now is an eight-figure company.
Yes, this year.
And you built that over 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Started with $400 in your pocket.
$400.
Now, how'd that go down?
It was difficult. So here's the story. My buddy and business partner, we're both Marines. He got out of the Marine Corps. He's younger than me. He got out of the Marine Corps. He went to barber school and fell in love with the actual aromatherapy chemical side of barbering. And he started to get into it. His hair started thinning, and he was using all these different, you know, these different products, that the mainstream products that you see. And at early 20s, he started having a balding spot in the back of his head.
I call that growing your own yarmulke.
Yeah. Well, he didn't want to have his own yarmulke.
He wasn't Jewish.
He wasn't Jewish. No, okay. He wasn't interested in it. And he was like, what the heck? And he looked at the products he was using. It was just tons of chemicals. And at that point, he said, well, I remove the chemicals and found a product that's organic. And it was like very expensive. So he's like, well, shit, if it's organic, I should be able to go find the ingredients and make it myself. Well, fast forward, you know, a year and a half later of him burning pots and setting his kitchen on fire, which we have videos of everything. His wife would come home and there'd be like burnt marks on the ceiling and whatnot. So about a year and a half later, he finally created the actual formula of what works. This dude, I love him to death. You'd appreciate it. He had no website, no business, nothing. He just had the product. So he got himself a silver briefcase, put the product in there, and was driving around the barbershop, knocking on doors, trying to sell it. And one time he drove, I yelled at him so much, this is before we met, he drove all the way from North Carolina all the way to Jersey for a barbering competition or something, an expo, and tried to sell his pomade from booth to booth. Of course, you know, not everybody was like, get out of here, kid. What are you doing? You're 23 years old. What do you know? And so he just kept hammering the drum. He got through mutual friends. He messaged me on Instagram for 6 months, wanting me to try it. And he just wanted me to put it on the channel, maybe talk about it, give him a little, you know, promotion if I liked it. And after 6 months, he got a hold of me and dropped off the product. I met him. And I used the product for about 3 weeks, maybe not even 3 weeks. And I told my wife, I said, this is $1 million product. This kid's got $1 million product.
Why? Because it smells so good?
The use of it, the smell, the way that it just reacted to your body, your hair, et cetera.
What was it? What was it?
At that point, he had a hair pomade.
The fuck is that? Go ahead.
Oh, that's your mic.
It's that fucking thing.
Yeah. So we had three different hair pomades, oil-based hair pomades, and a beard oil, and that was it.
So what was so amazing? The hair pomade for
the hair pomade and the beard oil, the smell and everything, and the way that it held.
Can you send me some because I didn't see it?
I'll have to talk to this.
It's called Johnny Slicks.
Yeah,
I like the name. You're making me want to try it just because. Why is it so badass?
I think I sent you the black label too. You seem like a black label kind of guy.
Is that the good stuff?
Yes, yeah, the good.
Of course, I am. Yeah. Yeah, but like I use special shit in my hair, but it's not, I doubt it's organic, and it's nothing special, but like it works because of the texture. I don't like my hair looking wet. Does this pomade make it look wet?
We have three different kinds, so you'd probably look at a more of a clay-based pomade, the form of the 49, which is a matte finish, you know, again, it's all organic, so it doesn't gonna pull your hair out or make your shit fall.
How does it get me laid?
Smell.
Just smells killer, huh?
I told my friend around Bedros Koulian, I sent him a box, and I said, he goes, what do you want me to do with this? I said, nothing. Just wear it and then tell me what happens. He sent me a message a week later. He said, dude, I don't know what the fuck you put in this, but this is going to cause problems for me, because I got people at the office, you know, like, you know, trying to smell my neck and like, what's that smell?
And I wonder if it's the same smell that they use when I get my hair cut. This freaking, they go like this and they put it on my back of my neck, and I'm like, dude, I love that smell. Yeah. It smells like Barbary shit.
Yeah, it's,
is that it, what it smells
well,
like?
There's like, for instance, for the one that I sent you, the Omega Black Label, it's I want to say John's put is like 11 different scent profiles into that to make it what that scent. So he's like basically a chemist.
Is that why you believe it went to eight figures? Because it smells so damn good?
I think that the smell, I think people are starting to catch on to into like what some of these corporations are doing with their products, and how like the big one with you know, J&J, where the big class action lawsuit, where they literally are selling you the disease.
Poison.
The poison. And then when you look at their, because it's all public, they're a publicly traded company, you look at their profits, 40%, I think it's 40% of their profits for J&J come from treating the thing that they sold that caused the cancer.
It's almost like, how are they still in business? You've seen movies about this stuff where the true story is they knew and they did it anyway, and like they got fined. Like, fine?
Fine what? And they're going to be like, okay, sure.
You need to shut them down. There needs to be people put in prison, and the companies need to be put out of business.
You would think. But that's literally like me punching you in. Well, first of all, you paying me to punch you in the eye, and then me selling you an ice pack for your eye.
Now, agogi. Is that how you pronounce that?
Agogi.
Agogi.
The agogi.
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 What is that?
That's
why you got a lot of cool names. Where are you getting all these cool?
So the agogi was, remember the 300?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the agogi was when Spartans took their seven, 8 year old boys and put them in a training camp. And several years ago, I was awoken to the realization that this country has a bunch of really soft, weak men in it.
Certainly does.
And it seems like it's only getting worse. Well, it has been getting worse. And so me and my former teammate within Special Operations, Josh Hansberger, we started coaching young men to get in the military. And then older men kind of started approaching us like, hey, I'm not going in the military, but I'm all fucked up and want to get my shit squared away. And that morphed into a coaching platform. Started out as fitness nutrition. And realized that people don't have a fitness and nutrition problem. They have a priority problem and a vice problem. So it became kind of a all-encompassing coaching group that we run. And the reason why I called it the agogi is obviously my heritage and my background. I'm first generation American. And I felt like men need to be put back into a man camp, if you will. So that's why we called it the agogi.
What happens at this thing?
It's an online platform. We do have in-person and, you know, live events that we do. But basically we realign men's priorities. Cause here's the deal. Men at this point are suffering from what's called LATS. You know, they've heard the thing, old, Thorgood's, thing. Men live a life of quiet desperation. So men are lonely, tired, angry, and stressed. Even though they're with their family and they've got friends, they still feel isolated and alone because, you know, pressures of society. You can't be masculine. It's not okay to be a man, but then patriarchy's bad. But at the same time, provide, make a bunch of money, and then show up for your kids and your wife. But then you can't go to the gym because there's not enough time. So their priorities are all out of whack. Plus society's putting all this unneeded pressure and telling them what they are and what they aren't and what they can't be and where they can go and what they should do.
But the fact that they're listening to that is what makes them a puss.
Yes. But that's where, like, you know, they need a little bit of a slap.
It's weird that you have to wake people up almost. It's almost like they've been, like, suckered into believing all that shit. As you're saying that, I'm like, and that's not true. That's not true. But there are guys that don't realize,
right,
you don't have to freaking do all that bullshit.
Not at all. Not at all. And I think that's me, like, that's us giving them the permission to take reins back over their life. Not the government, their work.
Have you ever caused divorces?
Yes.
Why? Like, what was the purpose? Did they need one? Or you cause them to get their balls back out the purse?
No. Here's what happens. Yes, there's been a couple that have been like, hey, listen, this needs to happen. Like, you got a divorce. Like, I've got one of my tier one clients that they needed a divorce. It was bad.
Because they were getting walked on, stepped on.
They were getting walked on, taken advantage of. The person had a gambling problem. You know, basically was just take, no give, zero give. It's like, that's not a relationship. That's a thief.
Yeah.
In your house.
I knew a buddy of mine that was like that. His girl was an alcoholic gambling fiend that literally spent every single dime they had down at the bar drinking and playing fucking video poker.
I'm staying at one of the casinos here right down the road, and I'm walking through that. I'm just like, look at
all she would take all their money. Because to me, if they're a couple, it's their money, bro. That's how I am. But
yeah,
she'd take all their money and spend it and then steal it basically out of, he would try to hide it and protect it. And she'd get that. She'd sell their shit. She'd fuck them. She'd ruin the family if he let her. But fortunately, he blew her out. So you need to go.
So what typically happens is this: a man gets his priorities in order, starts living a little bit more like probably like we live, and the wife doesn't rise with him. So he's on this growth trajectory. He's becoming better. He's becoming a better father, wants to become a better husband, wants to start doing date nights, wants to fix his income. And the wife's just like, I'm going to sit on the couch, finger fuck my iPhone and gossip and watch soap operas or what, I don't know, whatever the thing is. So they just don't rise. They don't rise with them. And then what happens then is you create that separation between he's going and he's growing, and it creates that gap. And then,
is a beard required?
No.
All right, good.
Nice check.
Beard required. Nowadays, it seems like beards are the new, tattoo. Beards are the new tattoos. Everybody I know that's like a badass has a beard, and I'm thinking, dude, do I need to grow this bitch out? Every time I do, though, it gets real gray. And it starts to itch before I've never let it grow past the itch.
That's why you need Johnny Slicks. It'll get you past the itch.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I'd look like with a full ass beard.
Probably mean.
I'm almost too pretty. I almost want to leave it just this 5 o'clock. But I want to get back to that 8-figure business. But before I do, the helping the dudes thing.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of guys out there. I don't know if you watch me on social media, but I'll say shit like, you know, the dude needs to pay and protect. A lot of guys are like, you know, oh, you're a simp. What do you think? Like, whose job is it to pay the fucking bill?
Man's job.
Period. Isn't it? Because all the haters on my comments are making me think, like, am I just like a fucking fool? Or
man,
because I believe the man should
pay. If you're a man, then you should pay.
Period.
Period. You said something that I absolutely love, man. I freaking loved it so much. It was basically, if your wife spends a lot of money and she's a good wife, you just need to make more money.
That's exactly what
I said. Why are you giving her shit about
the money? And the key was, if you have a good woman that's outspending you, you need to make more money. That got shared by all the women to their men, and you know, some of them were bitching, and I'm like, dude, I said a good woman. It has to be a good woman.
Absolutely. Because not the one gambling.
Well, a good woman, dude, wouldn't outspend your fucking income, first of all, because she respects you and realizes, hey, I'm not going to blow all this guy's money. He doesn't.
She's in it with you.
But she's a teammate.
Yeah.
And you're making X amount. She's not going to overspend that if she's a good woman, first of all. And so if your girl can outspend your income and she's a good woman, dude, you need to make more fucking money. And then there's people that don't think they can, and that goes back to the pussy shit.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, listen, beliefs. Everybody can make $200,000-$300,000 a year. Everybody. Minimum. Like, someone that says, oh, I'm not, I can't. Yes, you can. Is that what you're teaching at the Agogi?
Absolutely.
Agogi?
Yeah. I mean, the thing
not,
is,
it's not fond of that name, by the way.
Which one?
Agogi.
Agogi?
Yeah, was that what they call it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Agogi, that ain't as cool as like fucking, you know.
People in it love
Johnny
it.
Slick. But Agogi, once you say what it is, that's cool.
Yeah.
But the name Agogi?
Yeah.
To try. Stuck with it now, bro.
Stuck. It's in it. Yeah.
So is that what you're teaching there? How to make some money?
Absolutely. Yeah. And why they should. And the fact is that as soon as, like, when you say like, oh, I can't do that. Well, no, you can't then. As soon as you say you can't, you can't.
Do they come to you with that kind of pussification?
Pretty much. Not all the times, but yeah.
So if there's any people like that listening right now, rather than obviously call you, let's give them just a little tip before, so they don't have to call you. Say, hey, you don't need me, bro. Here's what you need to do. Boom, boom, boom. Give them three things where they can wake up and get their nuts back from their girls.
List out your top four priorities and then look at your routine. Is your routine and congruent with your priorities? And if they're not, then your routine's fucked up. And that's why you're depressed and anxious and stressed out, is because you're not living in conjunction with your top four priorities in life. Whatever those are for you, everybody has them different. They're all pretty much the same. It's all about family, money, their faith, you know.
Usually when I talk to people like that, so they just want to be rich. And they want to be rich because they think that'll get
what
them the
that?
Well, they think that'll get them the family and all the love and all the shit they truly want. But they think money's going to get that for them, and that's not necessarily true.
No, it just solves problems.
Money solves problems. But dude, listen, I've seen people go get the money, and they're still not happy at home, and the wife still isn't respecting him.
You didn't fix your shit
because you didn't fix your shit.
Yeah,
it's not the money that'll fix it.
The other thing is, be careful the story you tell yourself. So whatever you're telling yourself, you're just manifesting that reality. So if you're saying, no, I can't make that money, well, then you can't. I can't have the elite level relationship, then you can't. I can't have the fucking body that I want, then you can't. But if you start believing that you can, well, then there's a path towards making it happen. Because you just said everybody can make $300,000. So as long as you say, I can make $300,000, so you just got to figure out how to fuck do it.
Well, sell some.
Sell some shit.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Sell some. I even started companies to hire people to sell something. So it's like a lot of people like, you know, well, go sell something. Well, shit, dude, I'll even give you the shit to sell.
here's the floor. Go.
Look, here's the training.
Yeah.
Here's the job. That's it. So again, I tell people I can save you from drowning, but you got to swim towards me. I'm not, you can steal that if you like. I'm not going to run after people. Like, again, people need to wake up and kind of want it for themselves. It says here, you know, you're teaching people how to scale their businesses. You find a lot of business guys coming at you.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of young entrepreneurs, even people, even seasoned ones as well.
Yeah. So if they're already in business and they're already somewhat successful, you know, what do you think causes those guys to start becoming soft and insecure? And
they buy into the rhetoric that they got to, well, I've got to spend this much time in my business. I got to work harder, Brad. I got to just work harder. I mean, everybody said that. I got to work harder. So they start putting all their time and energy and resources into, like you said, they're trying to build their business to get, you know, a 2x return. Just like, I can just make a little bit more. But then it's a cash eating monster and they're just working more and they're spending more and nothing's really changing. But what they've lacked is they lacked all their priorities. So they've stopped going to the gym. They're running around in a hurry, so they're eating shit food. So now we have a negative snowball effect that just compounds, and they're putting that weight on. And then as they get some more fat, the depression starts kicking in, lethargy starts, they don't have the energy. Maybe they're getting older, the testosterone's dropping. They're putting more weight on, so it's dropping even more.
The old doesn't work.
Yep. And then and then what do they do? So they're, again, lonely, angry, tired, stressed. So what do? Gamble, pornography, booze, drugs. Where does any of those go positively?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Well, I mean, momentarily.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? They're seeking
fun for the night.
Man. Yeah, they're seeking a fix in the moment. Like I'm so pissed off. I'm so stressed out. Let me just feel good. Let me just feel good in the moment and just take my mind off all this stress, my kids, my wife, the bills, the business, and let me just feel good in a moment. But the reality is that shit is a black sinkhole. You can gamble until the day you die, you'll never fulfill it. You can drink until the day you die, you'll never fulfill it. You can watch every damn porn video in the world, and guess what? You're still going to want to watch one more. So where does it end?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Nor is it ever went anywhere good.
No.
I've never seen anybody successfully drink their way to a better place or do drugs. Like, you know, I've seen people, you know, out doing partying and shit, and I've been one of them.
So have I.
But I've never seen anyone successfully.
I was just telling a story the other day. I was waking up in the morning and drinking Four Locos first thing in the morning before they redid the formula where it was killing people.
See, I've never been that hardcore. Like I wait till we're partying to party, but like, you know, I was never the one that would do like 3 days in a row doing rails or anything.
When I got out,
one was good.
It was,
you were partying like a rock star.
I was just escaping shit. Just using.
So how'd you learn to fix your shit?
That's what happened. It was my story. I wrote a book called Excommunicated Warrior, The Seven Stages of Transition. And that's my story of fixing my shit. And basically everything that I learned and me teaching the Agoge, the roadmap in the Agoge, if you will, is Josh and I's journey post special operations. So like I said, I did 12 years there. I did from 2000 to 2012, the fun years, and very busy. And when I got out, I was just angry and bitter at the military, bitter at the government, you know, and how could you not be? I felt like it was my time. I didn't have to do hard things anymore. Like, yeah, you know, maybe selection process I've went through and gotten beat up and all kinds of, you know, deployed here and there. And I mean, it was just one course after the next that it was pass or fail. You're not going to make it and you're out. So I lived that for 12 years. So when I got out, I was like, it's time to party. It's time to my time. I don't need to get up in the morning. I don't got to train hard like I did. Like, I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm going to drink whatever I want, do whatever I want, chase women, whatever. Guess what that got me? 240, depressed.
240, what percentage of body fat?
Fucking like 28,
30. So a tubby something.
Oh, I was a tubby. I just put it on my social media yesterday, actually. Said, how did I go from this? It was a picture of me in right before I got out. And I'm like, I'm probably close to 240 at single digit body fat. And then and then fast forward a couple years, 240, 30% body fat on the beach, standing there with my gut out with my kids.
And then not knowing how you got there.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, I've done that before.
Look in the mirror. How the fuck did this happen?
Yeah, I mean, dude, I mean, I think even masculine men, you know, fall in ruts.
Yeah.
I don't think they're aware why, though. Like, when I look back, it's like, why do I do that? And I think deep down, man, I need to figure out why that is. How come I don't go balls out?
Right.
Well, and that's another thing. Like, my meh is better than fucking 95% of people's best. Yeah. Like, in other words, like, I'm accidentally a fucking badass without even fucking trying. So I get the credit of being, oh, this guy's badass. But dude, I got my faults just like everybody else, dude.
Well, everybody does.
I'm just lucky that, you know, again, you know, I'm a fuck up right here. So imagine if I fucking tried.
That's what I am. Well, in this day and age, in 2024, you don't have to try very hard to be excellent anymore.
That's because everyone's so weak. But still, at the end of the day, dude, I was, you know, guys like you come in here and you leave, and I'm thinking, fucking goddamn, dude, I gotta get my shit together. I just gotta fucking get more focused. Again, to me, it's like, you know, I'm good. You know, I'm not out partying. I go home. I'm reaping rewards of consistent, intelligent, good choices.
Yeah,
I don't fucking party. I don't do stupid
the word shit. Right there. Consistent.
Yeah, and I don't do stupid shit. Yeah. Right, but I'm also not like really fucking focused and dedicated and after something
obsessed.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I need to get fucking competitive again. I need to get fucking on fire. Why? Well, cause dude, I've been floating for quite some time.
Well, you hit, everybody hits levels, right? You hit level. You're like, fuck. I would say, Brad, you made it.
I know, but that puts me guilty just like everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, it's like, hey, listen,
what's the next level?
They call me the real Brad Lee. Cause I keep shit real, bro. One time someone asked me, do you think you're a good CEO? And I go, fuck no. I go, what? Tell me more about that. And I went on to tell him, you know, I'm dumb at this. Go like, dude, you're the only person that we've ever heard, like, basically say that about yourself. I'm like, well, I'm the only one that tells the fucking truth. The rest of them feel the same, dude. They just don't say it. They come across and they fucking lie and they act like they're fucking great. But when they go home, they're thinking it. You can tell why, because they're fucking 240 and 28% body fat, because they got no money in the bank,
right?
Because their fucking wife doesn't even fucking kiss them anymore. Like, dude, if your wife, I always tell people, you go home and you think, how often do you kiss your wife? They say, not very often. Well, then, dude, there's something wrong there. Why?
Yeah.
Because, dude,
why is she kissing you?
Remember back in the day when you guys first went out? Oh, it's kiss, kissy, kissy, kissy. Now there's no kissing. Well, we've been married 10 years. Dude, don't let that bullshit you. She still wants fucking kissed.
She wants more than that.
Hey, if you ain't doing it, dude, I'm telling you, one day you're going to come home.
Somebody else.
The neighbor's going to be fucking sneaking out your back door.
The pool guy.
Not my girl. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Your girl.
Yeah.
How do I know? Again, I mean, I don't know every girl, probably wouldn't in the world, but I lived in Vegas when I was 21, 22, 23, single. There was a lot of girlfriends and wives here on, you know, girls' trips, not knowing anything. Oh, dude, trust me.
That was like me in the 90s in Panama City Beach.
Yeah, like if your girl came here in the 90s on a girls' trip, possibility, very strong possibility that I whacked her.
This is horrible, Brad. I was a teenager at the time, but these college girls would come down to Panama City Beach, Florida. And they'd be like, oh, I have it, you know, on spring break. I'm in Tennessee or whatever. I got a boyfriend up there. I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Tell him I said hi.
And they still did shit.
Of course.
Yeah. So again, to me, it's like, guys, wake up, pay attention, go do an agogi if you have to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, bro, you only live one life, supposedly. I mean, maybe you do live two. There's a couple religions out there that say, no, you live more than one.
You have to be sane.
I don't want to offend any. Maybe you come back.
I don't want to offend anybody.
Well, get back to this one. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Like, dude, let's pretend you only live once then. Like, yeah. Dude, let's go. Like, your wife needs you. Your kids need you. You need to be an example. You need to fucking fix yourself. All men need to fix themselves. Mm-hmm. What do you think of this political bullshit that's going on with the, you know, multiple genders and everybody's all fucking, you know, worried about offending people?
Yeah, there's only two genders. I hate to break everybody's precious little heart.
Again, but when we all know this.
Everybody knows it.
Of course. That's my point. Like, we all know this. So why are we pretending to play the game?
I don't know. I'm not.
Well, then you're an asshole.
I'm an asshole.
Yeah, how come more men won't just be an asshole?
Fear.
And is it men or is it also women?
Well, it's definitely also women. But the problem is because men have become so, don't have the ability to lead anymore. And I'm talking about, and I'm not saying all men. Obviously, there's a percentage of men that are like still, and I think based off what I've been doing now, my mission now, I've definitely seen a tide turn in the last couple of years. I think COVID really.
Like people waking up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think COVID got a lot of people. And then 2 years in, they're like, wait a minute. This all smells like bullshit. That's what I've been telling you from the get-go.
And then at that point, they put on another 50 pounds and they're struggling. And they're like, yeah, I got to get my shit in order and start running my household. But it goes back to what you're saying. Sure, women too. But where are the men? Where are all the good men going? Where are all the strong men going? They're not leading. They're not leading their family.
Where are they?
They're not. Yeah, I don't know. They're at the mall. They're on Netflix. They're waiting on their fucking double stack burrito from Uber Eats while they're sitting in their basketball shorts.
Dude, do you have a group or a community after they graduate this Agogi thing?
That's in there. That's what we do.
Are you the Agogi Wildcats?
No.
What do you call yourselves after you've graduated?
No, there's no graduation. It's ongoing.
So it's a community.
It's a community. Yeah, we have coaches. We have several coaches.
But do you have like, you know, outings and shit?
Yeah.
Brotherhood type shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, like, dude, brotherhood is important to people. A lot of the guys get weak because they don't have any brothers. They're basically sitting at home alone with a bunch of estrogen.
I forgot the percentage, but there's some crazy high percentage that most men don't even have one real friend.
I do, but they're all over the place. Yeah. Like, back in my day, friends came over every day. Like, you were hanging out every day if they were your friend.
Well, they knew where you were because otherwise they didn't know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, but I mean, every day, dude, every day you'd go hang with your buddies. Your buddies would come over every day, whether you had a girlfriend, no girlfriend, married, no married, doesn't matter. You're at their house or they were
yours. You had a crew.
Yeah. But when you get older, like now, I don't really have them because they're all over the world. They don't just pop in and hang out every day. And I don't really have a lot. And I go home, I got my wife and three little girls. So it's like, to me, and fucking three female dogs. So I'm sitting there.
And you're the only dick in the house.
That's right. Okay. I like it that way. But in reality, no, it's like sometimes I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, I need to get some friends. I need to be able to hang out with some dudes once in a while. But there's no fucking dude clubs around that you join. So like.
Yeah, there is.
Where?
10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu right here in Vegas.
What's it called?
10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu.
Why 10th Planet?
Well, that's Eddie Bravo's thing.
I'm getting ready to start rolling with Daniel Gracie.
No kidding. Well, there you go.
Yeah. But again, what makes me think he wants to hang out and be my buddy?
It's not those guys. If you're going to do like one-on-ones, but if you get a group of guys rolling, that's where you'll find.
I mean, do you see my post where I was joking about rolling with dudes? Oh, I got a lot of hate on that too.
Did you really?
Yeah, from obviously fucking jiu-jitsu guys. I said like, dude, I did it once and it was all, the dudes all sweaty and like rolling around with some dude. I'm like, no. And besides that, I got a black belt in Ching Ching Pow, which is Ching Ching Pow. And everyone's like, that's because you're a pussy. You obviously don't know how to fight. And it's like, bro, number one, I was kidding. Number two, I wasn't kidding about rolling around, dude. I'm 50 fucking five. I don't want to get hurt, but I am training just in case somebody gets lippy.
As you should.
You have to. Why? Well, dude, because you got a responsibility to protect your family. You know, there's shit going on nowadays. Like, dude, you don't know nothing. You got to be prepared. Get your house in order, as my boy Sean Whalen likes to say.
He does say that. So the only thing is that, and the reason why I brought that up is one, is I found through my years of doing it that's almost like a boys club. Like, there might be girls in the corner, but that's where like all the guy, like, we're meeting four times a week to beat the shit out of each other. Well, afterwards, like, everybody's sitting around and bullshitting about life, you know. It's a boys club that we just happen to beat the shit out of each other while before communing, you know.
Well, I'm gonna try that. I haven't been doing it, so maybe that's my fucking dude club.
Here's the reality is this. You just get a bunch. You just find all your Centrum Silver guys. Like, where's the Centrum? The guys taking the Centrum Silver? And that's my crew. I just go over there. Whatever class that is, that's where you go.
How old are you now?
I'm 42.
So another 10 years, you'll be fucking in the Centrum club. all the companies that you've helped scale and start, do you have any equity in any of them?
I did. I sold them. We sold them. So we had two different ones that we sold, and it was good. It was fun. It was a fun thing. Now I'm just really focused on mine.
What I was going to ask, what are your goals now? What are you trying to accomplish? How can the Bomb Squad help you?
Right now I'm looking for men that are pissed off and frustrated.
There's a bunch.
And if you're done with the bullshit and you're ready to actually like, hey, I know that there's something left in the tank. I know that I'm not hitting the right thing. I'm not leading. I don't have the bank account. I always say this. If you look at your body, if you stand in front of the mirror and you're naked and you don't give a fuck yeah, instead, and you're more like, oh, okay, call me. If your bank account is like, oh, and not a fuck yeah, call me. You know, let's fix that. If your relationship with your wife is not like a hell yeah, it's more of a, etsy-ketsy, so-so. You know?
Well, you're going to get 90% of the dudes calling you that.
Call me.
Because that's 90% of dudes.
I'll tell you this, though. This is what I promise you. A much harder life. It will not be easier. It will not, this will, if you do our plan, it will not be easy. It will be much harder. However, you'll be more fulfilled than you ever have been in your entire life.
Will you get beat up?
No. You'll beat yourself up.
Because there's a lot of those clubs, man. They fucking, you got to go in there and fight people.
No.
Remember those days? Well, they're not even legal anymore. Now you'll get your ass sued. Someone
kinda,
get their
I kind of like butt. That idea, though. You got to get in. You got to have you get in your first fight.
Well, you should.
Let's
dude.
See what you're at.
Listen, if you get a guy that just will not fight, does he really belong in your
here's
club?
Here's the thing with fighting or rolling or training or whatever. Why is everybody so afraid to get their ass kicked? Like when I was growing up as a kid, that's just part of life. I got my ass kicked way more than I won any fights. Why are so many men just worried about, like, afraid to get their ass kicked? It's okay to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, I don't want my ass kicked, but I've had it kicked once or twice.
I've had a lot more than once or twice.
But it was from, like, my dad, like, not literally beat up.
Yeah.
Because I'd normally not fight. I would fucking do the punching if you got me to that point.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I just wasn't in a neighborhood where I had to fight a lot. But I got in some fights and I got punched in the face, and I always thought it would hurt worse than it did. And once you get punched in the face a couple of times, you realize, like, dude, it didn't hurt as bad as you thought. Yeah, but dude, you're also not, back in the day, not dealing with people with you know, jiu-jitsu skills. Now you get a fucking crack your arm, and what do you do with a broke arm?
The percentage is still very, very low.
But what if someone decides they want to rearrange your face, like, for real?
Well, then you should be more capable.
Well, that's why I'm rolling, but no, that's why people don't want to get in fights. Nowadays, dude, you never know. You might be fighting some bad man.
And the reality is you should not be going out there looking for fights. Like, I don't want to get in a fucking fight. That shit hurts. I'm fucking 42. I'm put together with, like, string on the inside of my body right now. But if there's a situation where that has to happen, you will be damn sure I'm going to win, especially if my wife's kids are involved.
Doesn't it?
It is on me.
Well, no, it depends on who. I can tee up with some people where you ain't winning.
They're not fighting me, though.
They
don't fight anybody. You see what I'm saying?
Unless they're paid.
The people that train are
isn't
not.
Isn't that weird, though? The ones that can do the most damage aren't into fighting.
They don't want to fight.
The ones that fucking are bullies that want to beat everybody up, they don't know much anyway.
My point is having the skills in case of being, like, getting your house in order, being prepared. Like, if you're a man who's 300 pounds and you walk around the corner, and next thing you know, you're in one of these freaking riots or in one of these protests or whatever, and your wife and kids are there and shit goes sideways, and you can't even walk up a flight of stairs without having a fucking stroke, let alone fight somebody when they're attacking your wife and kids.
What are your core pillars in the Agogi?
Fitness, discipline, belief, and tribe.
What do you think of Andrew Tate?
I think that he is a personality that, as he's gotten older, I've seen some of his statements reversed as he's gotten older. I think as he's gotten older, he's
and more
wiser and more famous. Yeah. A lot of the things he says gives a lot of, I agree with. I don't agree with some of his earlier stuff when he was younger, talking about, you know, high value man has 14 bitches and this and that. I mean, that's just, now we're going back to the pleasure thing and not the purpose and not the fulfillment. But I think since he had a daughter and as he's gotten older, I've seen a pivot in his personality to where he's starting to see things in a different light.
But for sure.
He speaks the truth.
Transitioning from military to civilian life, dude, it's tough for a lot of people. Describe how that transition worked for you.
I thought that I had it all figured out at a ripe old age of 31 years old. And what I didn't realize, and a friend told me this, and I was like, you know what you're talking about. What I didn't realize was you spend 12 years doing that job, deploying to these countries and fighting these different wars and losing friends. It will take a toll on you that you didn't realize, because what happens while you're in is it's always the next thing. It's always the next deployment, the next workup, the next training evolution. So as soon as somebody, you know, we lost guys on missions, and guess what happens? Bird comes, pick up the pieces, put them on the bird, mission continues on.
They drop off another guy.
Don't even drop off another guy.
They don't?
No, not in our teams. There's no other guys, just us. So you just keep moving. And then you get back to the base, clean up your gear, say your final goodbyes to that guy, and guess what? Next mission. And life continues on so fast. So you're moving 300 miles an hour. But you do that for 12 years, and then you get out. Well, now you're moving at 10 miles an hour, but you have 300 miles of baggage behind you. And it's going to come smacking right you in the back of the head. And that's what I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting to have to process all that stuff, because I thought that it was already done, because it was years ago. So that's where it starts to catch up. And then also, the military's job, this is something I was very angry at the Marine Corps, because I felt like I'd gotten done wrong, or, you know, like they sold me a bag of goods or whatever. And when I got out, I had a couple years down the road, I had to realize that military's job is to train, equip their military to fight and win our nation's battles. That's it. It's not to make Nick a good father, a good husband, good business owner, good civilian. It's not their mission. And everybody has this idea that, like, oh, well, they used you up, they should take care of you. No, that's your responsibility. It's your life, your responsibility. And so I took that comfort thing. I was dealing with all that stuff in my brain, and eventually it led me standing on the beach with a gun ready to call it quits. So I was just exhausted, tired of the pain, tired of the anguish, tired of the thoughts, tired of not sleeping. I was like, you know what? And this lie we tell ourselves, oh, you'll be better off. Your family will be better off. Your wife will meet somebody else. Your kids will have a better dad than you because you're not even present mentally.
See, I mean, like that should keep you from doing it.
You would think.
Like, if I was getting ready to do it and someone said, you know, your wife's going to meet someone else, you know, your kids, they're going to move on, call someone else dad. I'm like, okay, fuck that. I need to not do it.
But that's the lie that your inner critic is telling yourself, right? That's the little voice in your head. And what's crazy is the same voice that says, man, you've done a bunch of hard shit. You don't got to get up and do that workout. You can have that burger, drink that beer. You deserve it. That's the same voice that down the road is going to get you to walk off a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts.
That's a bitch of a voice too. Sounds cool though. Sounds like you want to listen to it.
Initially, it sounds like he's your friend.
Dude, I listened to it today. I've been eating clean for like fucking 2 weeks. Start to get back in shape. Fuck, dude. We walked by this vending machine. There was a Snickers.
Fuck that.
I said, you know what? I ain't had a Snickers bar in a long fucking time. And guess what? I mean, dude, one Snickers bar. Like, dude, you can totally handle a Snickers bar if you eat clean 99% of the day. And I have been. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. But, dude, that's the same pussy ass voice.
That's the thing that starts there. And then it just grows.
I know. I need to kill it, dude.
You can't kill
it. I want to become a machine.
You can't kill it. You can't kill it. What I've learned is you can't kill it, but you can duct tape and put them in the trunk of the car. And then we can move their inner advocate up to our passenger seat. The one that's like, fuck yeah, Brad, you got this. You're the fucking man, Brad. Go get yours.
Who do you think the voices are, though? Because I always tell people when they're talking to me, you know, the ones that are, you know, that are saying, you know, you this, you that, like, that's not you talking. It's somebody else feeding your head full of shit.
You know, you can go down that rabbit hole. I don't know. I think the duality of men, I guess, but I do think that it's evil.
Have you ever read As a Man Thinketh?
Yes.
What do you recommend on that book?
I love it. It's one of my favorites. Good. Super short too.
Good book.
For stupid people like me.
What do you think the military has taught you that you apply to businesses now?
Operational planning. It took me a long time to realize this because I didn't really take anything from my military to my business world initially. And then I failed a bunch, as we all do. And then it hit me, the operational planning process that we have in special operations to shape a battlefield, to create an objective, create an outcome, phase line approach to planning. You know, you can say, call it quarters, phase lines, whatever you want to call it. It's the same shit. Once I took that process, the operational planning process, and put it into my business and started working that way, changed everything. So I just teach people that.
Is that part of the Ugoji too?
That's part of tier one if they work with me. So I only work with the tier one guys. So we have tier three, which is like our group mentorship. Tier two is our one-on-one. So they get like a coach. So they get somebody like you, Brad, and you'll be able to walk them through some of the things that I teach and set them up. And then for the guys that go with me, that's where they come meet me. And then we really get into the weeds about their life, their business, their goals, their objectives, their profits, et cetera.
Where do they go? Like what state you live in?
North Carolina.
North Kakalaki.
Yeah. On the beach.
You ever call it Kakalaki?
I do not.
Have you heard it called that?
Yeah, I have.
Dude, I got a couple of people that ask me, you know, hey, you know, do you offer mentoring and one-on-one coaching? And I always go, not really. But I always said, you know, you what are you trying to accomplish so I can find you somebody?
Yeah.
So I'm going to add you to the roster. I might send you some people. Because a lot of them will say, you know, I want, but it takes time, man. Don't you think it takes time?
It takes a lot. It takes more time than people think.
It's not me show up and do, all right, tell me, dude. And then weekend I come home and I'm fixed. Like, dude, it takes time. And I don't have a lot of time for people.
It's repetition. It's repetition.
Do you have one-on-one time available for people?
I do.
And you love it.
I love it.
Why?
Because I see the change. I see the progress. But see, the thing is—
Why does that do anything for you?
I think it became my mission is when my gym got raided in 2020, and that's what really woke me up. Cause like I said, I got out and I fixed myself.
What do you mean your gym got raided?
I raided by the cops.
You owned a gym or something?
Yeah, I owned a gym.
Why did it get raided?
COVID.
What do you mean?
Well, they shut all the gyms down. You don't remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't shut down.
You were one of them fuckers that stayed open?
Yeah. Well,
there's guys in New Jersey that did it too.
I know.
Got cracked up on their fines. I don't even know what happened to this day, but like they did that.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a couple people that said, fuck you.
Smith, yeah.
So you were one of them.
I was one of them.
What happened to you?
Two-year legal battle that surmounted to nothing because it's the government.
Did it shut down the gym? Put you out of business?
I pivoted to another thing. I was part of a franchise at the time. And the franchise, which was weird, I was like a spokesperson for health and fitness and like getting your shit in order. Like if all these things that are happening, like you're saying that you're unhealthy, like if you're going to die, if you're fat, well, maybe you should not be fat. Like start eating good and start exercising and you'll have a better chance to not get sick. And if you do get sick, who fucking cares? And, so this franchise came down and they were like, hey, we think you should just shut down. I'm like, okay, you're going to stop making me pay your fees? Well, no. Okay. Well, so the tax man wants his money. You want your money. My employees need to get paid because their rent's due. My landlord for the lease has got to get due, but I can't make any money. Make this make sense. So we broke off on our own. And then shortly after that, I made the decision to shut it down. Now it's my private gym. So that whole gym is just my private gym now.
That's worthy of having though.
It's pretty nice. Yeah.
So you must be making some dough with your other businesses.
Yeah. So that just funds all of that. So like the Ugoji, it wasn't planned, but we opened the Ugoji the same month that we got shut down, and we made more money in the first month than the gym made with almost no overhead.
Well, dude, there's going to be a line of people calling you, DMing you. Folks, by the way, if you guys want to reach out to this dude, you can go to @Nick Again, you're going to spell it because otherwise you might not know just by me saying
it. Nick K-O-U, that's it. It pops up.
Yeah, Nick K-O-U-M-A-L-A-T-S-O-S. K-O-U-M-A-L-A-T-S-O-S. You're the only one if they type it, Nick K-O-U, it'll just pop up.
I'm the only one in the United States.
Nick K-O-U, folks. And then you should have just went with Nick Cow. Kumalatsos.
Yep.
NickKumalatsos.com. On Twitter, Nick Kumalatsos. YouTube, Nick.Kumalatsos. You got a big YouTube channel?
It's our decent size.
You got a bunch of followers starting to grow?
Yeah.
And grow? How many you got?
On what, YouTube?
Instagram.
201?
Let's get him to like 500.
Yeah.
Let's get you some.
I was at 204. I lost 3,000 followers recently.
What'd you say?
Wasn't what I said. Do you remember the Alpha Male Boot Camp all over the news? You seen that?
No.
No? You don't watch the news, do you?
I try not to.
Good for you. It's all over YouTube.
It's fucking fake anyway, half the time.
It's all fake. All the YouTube videos talking about it are fake too. So there was a, you ever heard of the guy named Steve Eckhart? No. He's like what you're talking about becoming. Like when I don't think that he has that inner voice of like telling him not to do things. I think that dude got, I think his inner voice got killed. The guy is a straight cyborg. Amazing father, amazing husband, amazing man. Like his kids are some of the two coolest kids. They homeschool their kids.
Steve Eckhart.
Yeah. Hardest kids I've ever seen in my entire life. Like these little dudes bitch about getting in an ice bath at 39 degrees for 3 minutes. This 12-year-old gets in there for 11 minutes and doesn't crack. His face doesn't make one expression. And that's because his father's turned him into another little miniature psychopath. But nonetheless, there was a reel that went on Instagram and him telling the Modern Day Night Project candidates, again, we're going through this course, which Mario here's class 17 honor man. And then when he graduated, I ended up hiring him.
But Modern Day Nights.
Yeah. And so it's a 75-hour experience. Anyway, so he's kind of, his personality and the thing is he brings the pressure, the stress. He puts stress on men to make them crack, to see where their limits are at. And
like a drill instructor.
Yeah, basically. But, you know, it's not military. The format is not, you know, the purpose is not military, obviously. It's to get them to stop being bitches and just change your story and to unlock some things that they have. And it really is a beautiful process to watch what happens to those soft men that come in that are wanting more, that are not there. And then at the end, how they are in 75 hours and then what they have to do afterwards. But anyway, so he, at the beginning of this course, you know, he's screaming and yelling, talking about how he's going to carve the project tattoo off his hand before he lets any one of them that don't deserve to be there by graduation. He says it every freaking class. It's, you know, it's a thing that he does. It went viral. Fox News picked it up. CNN, all the different bloggers picked it up. And then.
So how do you lose followers from it?
I'm one of the instructors.
Oh, so funny.
I was sitting right next to him. He was right there. And I was just like, okay, all right, do your thing, Steve. Do your thing. And I was sitting right there.
You would think that'd get you more followers too, though.
Yeah, you would think.
People didn't like it, huh?
People don't like it.
Why is that?
I think it hurts people's feelings and they don't understand the purpose for it. They're like, well, this is unnecessary.
Dude, that's how, that again, got to toughen up.
Well, my thing is if those 3,000, if you unfollowed me because of that, I don't want you.
Well, that's the way people need to look at it.
Like, at the end of you're the day, not for me.
Dude, at the end of the day, if you unfollow somebody because of that, dude, you're kind of a fucking puss. Like, why would you unfollow anybody over anything, like, one-off?
Yeah.
If I'm following you and you're constantly doing shit I don't like, well, then I'll fucking unfollow you. I don't like this guy.
Crazy, yeah.
But, like, you're just like my partner here voted for fucking Biden, bro.
How's he feel about that now?
Well, he. I bet you he'd do it again if Trump was the fucking alternative.
It's just because he hates Trump.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I don't understand. Like, dude, are you guys fucking crazy? Like, again, I'm no Trump fucking fan, but he's a businessman. And out of the two, he's the only fucking option. Are you nuts? Yeah. You know, people are like, well, he's an asshole. It's like, dude, number one, I don't even think he's an asshole. I think he's funny. He's fine. But if there was an alternative that was a businessman and not a politician, cool. But politician, it's not like, oh, Biden I don't like. I mean, I think he's senile. Poor guy, I mean, I don't not like the guy. He's just not capable.
No, I don't like him.
Dude, he's just not capable, man.
No, of course.
But I mean, if I saw him and he, hey, Joe, what's up, buddy? You know, have a seat there before you shit your pants again. But in reality, give me an alternative that is a businessman.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. That's James Bond fucking looking bad motherfucker. I don't care.
I don't care if it's, I don't care who it is. But run the country like a business.
I want a businessman.
Yes.
I just don't want a politician. Politicians, dude, they're all terrible. Why? Because they're politicians. What does that mean? Dude, they've been making deals forever. Their politicians go in and realize, oh, this is a fucking crooked ass game we're playing. Mm-hmm. And so if they're in there for years, they're a crooked ass game playing motherfucker. And I don't care, Republican or Democrat.
And he's one of the top ones. He's been there for, yeah,
been
for
there
a long
forever,
time.
Dude. So, I mean, to me, it's like Trump was the only option.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point is, I didn't unfollow Jason. I didn't say, hey, motherfucker, I got to buy you out. So people that unfollow people over one or a couple of stupid things are a little bit of a pussy anyway.
I agree.
So maybe we can pick you up another 3,000 to replace those bitches.
Thanks, Brad.
Bomb squads filled with a bunch of fucking studs, I guarantee you. Most of them, again, a couple of them I heard don't like Trump, but I would bet most do. I wonder.
You don't have to like him. You don't have to like the president. He just needs to get results.
Well, he ain't the president.
But you know what I mean? You don't have to.
Oh, you're saying in general.
Yeah, you don't have to. In general, you don't have to like the president. You just need one that's going to get results.
Well, Joe's getting results.
Sure.
They're just not good.
They're just not good results. Yeah.
So, dude, what are your goals? Like, what are you trying to accomplish over the next, like, what are your goals? Where are you trying to go? What's stopping you?
What's stopping me?
Yeah, like, you teaching everybody how to get past everything, you would think, well, fuck, you can get everything you want then. So what is it you're trying to get? How do we hold you accountable?
You know what I recently realized is... And people come back, you know, people in the group and say, oh, but you are. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not the way that I want to. What I need to be doing is start creating other leaders. It's really time for me to start focus on creating more leaders and almost replacing myself. So it's not just enough to get your life in order and to do the things that you're supposed to be doing with your in all areas of your life. But I actually need to start getting these guys to start changing other men's lives and holding them accountable. So I think the next thing for me is really putting effort into building more leaders and more men that can carry on this kind of mission. Because otherwise, and I've said this before, if like you look at 2020, that's really what woke me up. Because before that, I got healthy. I was doing good. Businesses were doing good. And I was like, you know what? Nobody knew my religious affiliation. Nobody knew my political affiliation. I was just having fun, spending time with my family, doing business. And then that shit went sideways where cops raided my gym, like guns and cars and the whole, very dramatic.
See, again, when I look at cops like that, I think, shame on you, bro. Like, you're a police officer. Why would you, well, I have to listen to my superiors? No, bro, you took a fucking oath is what you took. You ever see how what sometimes it like, they're told to stand down during riots. Like, didn't you fucking take an oath, bro? Like, what do you mean stand down? You don't get to stand down. You took an oath.
And that's the same shit that, you know, soldiers and the Nuremberg trial said, well, I was just following orders, doing my job.
Soldiers too, bro. That's why if I ever see National Guards coming in to enforce these stupid fucking rules that are being imposed by these crooked fucking people, dude, shame on the National Guard, shame on the military, shame on the police officers. That's, to me, the last defense. People would say, well, write your congressman. I'd say, I wouldn't write your fucking congressman. I'd write your fucking chief of police. I'd write your fucking general, four-star general. Why? Because, dude, if the military and the police and the enforcements are on your side, these politicians ain't going to do shit. Right. The only reason these politicians have any power is because they control those forces. So if you just get to the forces, Like, dude, are you really going to fucking put us in jail over a mask violation or a recommendation? Because that's what it was. But they were, dude. But cops.
They didn't go anywhere. You get arrested. And I was about to get arrested multiple times.
They shouldn't have fucking raided your gym, dude. It's goddamn fucking COVID suggestion. And not only that, turns out now no one's apologizing. You haven't been remunerated.
No, that's all gone. So what I realized, though, Brad, was the fault is on men. It's our fault because we took our eye off the ball. We let collectively took the eye off the ball. We stopped leading our communities. We start being a voice in the community and we became weak and we became passive and we just went along with the flow and all the bullshit and the rhetoric that they put out there to destabilize families. And it's been going on for decades. But I was just staying in my own little lane. And when that happened, I realized, I said, this would never have happened if men were the way men supposed to be. Because they would have stood up in their communities across America and said, this isn't in what's the best interest of our businesses, our communities, and our families. So no, I had a different plan. That didn't happen. Everybody just folded.
Yeah, it was fucking, that's what's kind of disheartening because like, how do you get that back?
One family at a time.
You need a worldwide agogi.
Yeah, and what's crazy is we just if you add up the agogi, Sean Whalen, Superhuman Fathers, you add up all my friends that are doing this kind of job that have men's groups, right? That are trying to get people to fix their stuff and live by some core values and some morals. It's like 50,000 people in America. If you add them all up, add up every free.
You think that few?
That few.
I'll bet you there's more.
I don't think so.
There has to be more.
Because I've looked at every single group that I can find that align with the same things for men being men. And sure, there's some groups. Like Sean's got a big group.
Well, there's a lot of us out there that we don't have groups, but we're still fucking men watching.
Sure. But I'm saying if you just look at the coaching groups in general, it's 50,000. So you know there's 50,000 people. Out of how many million men in America?
180, 200.
Right. A lot of work to do.
Well, there's a lot of work to do, but I think, you know, recognition of resources, you know, who do you call? Where do you go? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm telling you, because like I'm in no man's group, but I'm a man. And
you have this and you're talking about the same things.
But somebody could argue, well, Brad, you didn't stand up and do. Dude, I mean, again, what the fuck am I going to do? Stand up and do what? Get shot down? Like, that's stupid, too. Like, fucking, you know. But trust me, no one's coming to my house fucking with my family. Like, they do massive shots. But if I'd have known, hey, you go get a sat phone, you plug into fucking, you know, Man's Anonymous. And, dude, there's all the dudes that are real dudes. And we're going to work together and link together and stay together. And, you know, fuck, if I could plug into that man network, I would.
Right.
Like I told Sean, I'm going to go get the sat phones. I'll get my house in order.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need 7 million rounds. Okay. I think if you need more than, you know, 1,000 rounds, dude, you're in big fucking trouble. I hope I'm not in that kind of trouble where I need 10,000 rounds.
What I always say is that, you know, it's one thing because these, you know, these guys that are preppers and they have, you know, 70,000 rounds and all this food and all this stuff. But your waist size is 42. You know what's going to happen? Somebody like me is going to come along and just take all your shit. With 10 rounds and take all your shit.
Yeah, you know what rounds are going to be worth? Because people say, Brad, should I get gold? And I say, don't get gold, bro. Get guns, get ammo. That's what's going to be worth everything if the shit hits the fan chaotic. Well-wise, like if it goes red dawn, chaos.
Skills. Your skills.
Well, your skills you can't really sell. Like, I'm talking about barter and trade.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, guns and ammo. Like, if you didn't have any guns and ammo when the shit hit the fan, and I got guns and ammo, you're going to trade for them or barter for them or you're going to want them.
Because you're going to want something.
You're going to want a big bar of gold? I don't. Like, what the fuck? I want your gold bar for? Like, give me that gun. Give me that ammo. And then I'm going to go get me some water and food. So to me, it's like, dude, get your house in order. Protect yourself. Get some guns. Get some ammo. Get some food. You know, get a plan. And then more importantly, plug into the network. If I was going to start something, it'd be the network. You should think about, like, how do we start a network where, well, Sean, you, fucking Bedros, all men hear about it, and let's plug the fuck in. Matter of fact, I should start it right now. Okay? I fucking get everybody.
It's called the Man Network.
I want $49 a month. We'll get fucking 10 million. Because I guarantee you my point was, there's more of us, dude. They just don't know how to plug in. And quite frankly, they're not like me. I'm not a pussy. Haters can call me whatever they want. I'm not a pussy, dude. Test me. But I'm not going to go out of my way to join a man's group. Why? Because again, I'm good. I got a family. I'm handled. Yeah. You know, shit pops off, I'll pitch in. You know, am I going to stand up and be Superman and be the fucking guy that's getting shot over it? Yeah, if it's in my neighborhood and it's in
my house.
Yeah. Like, again, I'm not going to let some lady or some child be harmed if I'm around, period, even if I get my ass kicked. If I'm in a mall and there's fucking people robbing a fucking store, 18 of them, and I'm by myself, that ain't my fucking store. I'm not going to fucking make a stand. Hey, what are you fellas doing? I'll just fucking, eesh, shit. You know what I'm saying? But again, I mean, what do you do? Are you telling me if you saw 18 people robbing a jewelry store in the middle of a mall, were you going to go do something?
I think I'd have to run.
Well, I wouldn't run, but I wouldn't necessarily jump in there. But if I seen two dudes beating up a lady, well, I'm going to go get my ass kicked if I have to, but I'm going to try and stop that.
Why? The thing is, when you get that many people, Brad, you're talking about Shannon's, like, not a real scenario technically, but
where
if you have 18 people with guns, like, causing hate and discontent, that shit gets out of hand really fast. Really fast.
Did you see what happened to Russia? You didn't see the fucking Russian shit? Mm. You're talking about watching the news.
I don't watch the news.
I don't watch the news either. I see it all over social media.
No.
Bottom line is, dude, there's a lot of opportunity in masses.
Right.
Like groups. But anyway, I want to get back to starting a network, because that's what I think you guys need. Be a network of people where people, like, are listening. They don't want to go fucking get yelled at for fucking 2 weeks, but they will fucking plug into something.
Just to be clear, Brad, I'm not yelling at people 2 weeks. That's not a thing. I don't do that.
Who does? I thought Steve Eckert did.
That's for 75. That's the project. That's not the Agogi. That's a solid thing. Yeah.
Just to be super clear.
And as you described that, I think I did see something about that.
Yeah.
Where he was yelling.
Alpha Male Boot Camp.
Comments, little bitch comments were like, people pay $15,000 for this.
There you go.
Yeah. Which is funny because, yeah. You know, and by the way, like, kudos to the people that pay $15,000 for that, because if that's what the fuck you need, and by the way, it's not like you were surprised when you got there. You know it's going to happen.
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, I think kudos to you. You spent $15,000 to go get your fucking ass kicked and get in some goddamn hot water, so hopefully you could come out of some daze that you're in. Mm-hmm. But, well, Brad, why don't you go? See? I don't need to. I don't need to go there. And I'm not going to. I don't like being fucking yelled at, but again, I don't need to get dragged through the mud and lock arms in the fucking waves for 6 days. What's it do for me? Teaches me. I already learned. I already fucking know.
Let's see. What? You have discipline?
I got discipline. I
have consistency.
I smoke cigars like a motherfucker, dude. Everyone tells me to stop. I go, fuck you, bro. I ain't a quitter. But in reality, dude, if I was weak and, you know, couldn't figure out up and my wife was leaving me and I can't figure out how to get along in life, well, fuck, dude, I'd do something. And I don't know if I'd know to do that, but I would do something. I would figure it out.
I think that's the biggest thing. It's not for everybody.
It's like Andy's 75 hard, you know, Frisella.
Yeah.
His 75 hard, I tell people to go do 75 hard. I wrote a book. In the book, I say, do 75 hard if you need discipline.
Same thing.
People say, Brad, why don't, matter of fact, one time I called Sean on his program, his Lion's Den or whatever he's got, his group. And I FaceTimed him and he answered and he had his group there and he was fucking with me trying to be cool. And he's like, when are you doing 75 hard? And I said, I don't need to. And he said, why not? And I said, cause I'm 7.5 soft. know what I'm saying? Like, I already know what that teaches you.
Yeah.
It teaches you that you can silence the bitch voice. You can power through if you choose to, and that's what it teaches you. I know this.
You are created with everything that you need to be successful.
I just don't know why sometimes I choose the pussy route.
Because that little voice in your head.
But I understand. I can tame it. I've tamed it.
Yeah.
But like, I don't always want to. Maybe because I got a little pussy in me too.
just a little one. All that pussy at the house is rubbing off on
you. I don't know what it is. But again, if someone said, hey, go in the ring and, you know, fight that guy, I'd rather not.
I'd prefer not to.
But if somebody came over to the house and was busting in, you know, hey, I'm fighting even if I lose. Which is why I'm going to go start rolling. I got to get the skill at least. You think 55 is too old for someone to start rolling?
There's a guy that just turned 81 and got his black belt.
No shit.
81.
Well, not overnight. He didn't. He must have started at 71 then.
Now he probably, I think he said he started in his 50s.
Because I'll tell you what, it takes a long time with jiu-jitsu to get a
about
black belt.
About 12 years.
And that's a real sport too. I mean, like, based on someone who doesn't know shit, versus someone who only knows a little bit,
6 months.
Night and day
difference. You're screwed.
You're fucked.
You're fucked.
And that's why nowadays, bro, you don't want to open your mouth and be a smartass, because you never know who knows what now.
Not even about the fighting aspect, but just being the guy who does know. Like, you walk into a room and talking about confidence. Like, I get on a plane, I'm like, looking. I'm like, there's nobody here. I'm going to have a problem with.
Well, you see the dudes with the ears and you go, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, that third problem.
Well, like, I had Andre Petrosky here the other day. You know that dude? Mm. He's like UFC number one grappler in the UFC middleweight division.
Okay.
He's got the fucking ears.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's only a brown belt in jiu-jitsu.
Only a brown belt, Brad?
Yeah.
That's death.
That'll kill me. That's for damn sure.
That's a fucking nightmare.
Well, dude, I know a couple black belts, and then Daniel Gracie, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's a 6th degree black belt. So, like, if you're a black belt, he's done that 6 fucking times or something.
It's ridiculous.
But my point is men need to understand, like, it doesn't take forever to separate yourself from the normal.
If you roll legitimately, if you can go train for at least 2 years, you get your blue belt. I'd say if you get your blue belt, like at that level, you don't have to get a blue belt, but level.
Did you get a belt?
Hmm?
What belt are you?
I'm in purple.
So if you get your blue belt, what?
You're more capable than probably 98%, 99% of the world.
Is that the statistic?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. A lot of soft men in this world, then.
Well, it's not even that. It's just you think that most men have this overinflated idea of what their capability is.
Yeah.
And then when they go, well, you don't know me, bro. When the shit hits the fan, all I see is red and bodies drop to the floor. Like, no, that's not what's going to happen. When the shit hits the fan, your brain's going to default to the lowest level of training that you have. And if it's nothing, you're just going to get embarrassed by whoever's grabbing a hold of you.
Yeah, you're going to get your ass kicked. That's me. I always think, dude, because I've never really lost a fight, but that's only because I've never fucking been in a lot.
Yeah.
Every time someone's pushed me and I started swinging, thank God, I won. But it was only like 4 or 5 times. Like, I ain't a big, long careered fighter. And I'm smart enough to realize, like, that ain't anything. But thank God, this is back in the day, too. Like, if someone says, Brad, when's the last time you fought? Probably fucking in my 20s.
I think you're due for a fight.
Well, thank God, dude. Listen, I don't do people wrong. You know, I don't fuck around with people's
jokes.
Maybe not
a real fight, but maybe you're due for a little.
Well, where I was going with that, no, I'm a good dude. Like, everyone fucking loves me. Besides that, I can talk my way out of most shit. So I close you on, why would you want to fuck with me, bro? But mainly, I'm not out fucking with people. I'm pretty respectful. I think if you be respectful and you hang around the right people, you're not fucking getting in fights anyway. But if you're out in public and you don't, anyway, long story short, I thought, you know, dude, I'm pretty capable, motherfucker. Yeah. Like, I don't really care what you know. But in reality, dude, my buddy, one day we were leaving this boxing match, and there was a little baby ring outside where people would get in there and put on the gloves and fight each other for a minute. My friend goes, we were drinking. He goes, you want to get in there? I said, motherfucker, I'll kick your ass. He goes, fuck, I bet you won't. So I'm like, let's go. So we fucking lace up and we get in there. And dude, after 30 seconds, dude, I was literally wanting to puke. I was winded as fuck after 30 seconds of swinging.
It's a different speed.
It's a different speed. Man, dude, I thought to myself, holy shit, bro. Imagine if someone was across from me conditioned and this was only round one. Now round two, I am fucked.
Round one, they're just getting warmed up. My shit, I just broke a sweat. All right, let's get into the real shit.
And that doesn't even include ground and pound and right. Jiu-jitsu shit where they put you in one little arm bar. You're fucked.
Fucked.
Wrist lock, you're fucked.
I love that quote. I don't know who was asking him, but somebody was asking Rogan, what's the practical use of jiu-jitsu? He's like, well, if we got in a fight, I would kill you. Right. That's pretty much it.
If you had to pick three to learn, which would they be?
Judo.
Why judo?
Just top game throws. Like you're just, if you're standing up with a professional judo guy, you're going to be, you won't even know what happened. Your feet will be scratched in the ceiling and you'll be getting slammed on the floor before you even know what happened. They're so fast.
Really? So judo, not number one.
Judo, jiu-jitsu, and then Muay Thai.
Those are the three you'd
pick. Those are the three that I'd pick.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was thinking boxing.
Boxing. So there's your Muay Thai. Like you're going to box in Muay Thai.
But real boxing is the same.
But boxing, but see, the boxing thing is boxing is a sport.
I know, but dude, if you can learn, if you know how to box, and you might not go to the ground because you pop.
But
like, dude, you hit in the mouth and get knocked out with no real ground game whatsoever.
Right.
That's boxing.
Well, first of all, why are we so close? Stick it away from me.
What do you mean? Like, Muay Thai, you're close.
You're close, but that's what I'm saying is. A boxer, I would like to see a boxer and a Muay Thai guy go at it. My money's on Muay Thai guy every day.
Because of the knees and...
Just how fast they are, the way they box, the way they move. Like, boxing to me is... There's nothing wrong with boxing. I think boxing is great. It's a great sport. But it's a very much lineal sport. It's... We both know we're going to box. But in a fight, that's not a fight. That's a boxing ring. You have rules.
I know, but like you take Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. Conor couldn't beat his ass.
Because he could.
In a real fight.
That's my point. So if you're talking about the three things that I need to be able to have as far as to be able to like protect myself and be a good fighter, well, those are the three. Now, if I want to be a great boxer, well, then I'll just go do
that. Who do you think is going to beat? Who do you think is going to win between Jake and Mike?
Is it real?
Let's assume it was.
Mike Tyson.
That's how you're going to know if it isn't.
That's where I'm going to go. But you know what I mean? Like, today, good on Jake Paul. Like, it's been amazing what he's been able to pull off. Everybody hates the thing. I hate him a little bit. But you got to admit.
I don't hate him. I admire him. But, hey.
I just don't know if it's real. That's my frustration.
You will after Mike Tyson. If he beats Mike Tyson,
it ain't real. Yeah.
Dude, there's no fucking way.
Have you seen the way that old man's been training?
Yes. And if you see him hit the bag?
Yes.
He's hitting it just as fucking hard as he always has.
Scary as shit.
And if you get hit in the ribs, I don't care who you are, you're going. And if he hits you in the face, you're done.
I'll say this. I'll be watching. He's going to get my money.
It's in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about going.
All right. So listen, on Netflix, right?
What's that?
Netflix, I think, is what they said.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I should find out. But I'm definitely either going or I'm watching for sure. Yeah. I like watching at home better than going to these things because you get the replays and the close-ups. And the going is not as fun as people think. And you don't have as good a view. Folks, listen. Bomb Squad, if you got grooming needs.
Yeah.
We're talking about motherfucking Johnny Slicks. It'll get you laid. Where do they go to get that stuff?
JohnnySlicks.com.
JohnnySlicks.com. I bet you people already took that note. And then if you guys want to, you know, get out of your way, go to Nick Koumoulatsos. Nick KOU. And then other than that, man, fucking, you know, go follow him on Instagram or something. Dude, I appreciate you coming in. Thanks for your service. Thanks for helping all these dudes become Man, it also says here you got HRT. What's that about?
Quite
medical.
Yeah, when I got out of the military, a friend of mine said, you know, when I was going through the dark times, he goes, "Hey, dude, I know you're struggling a little bit." He's like, "You ever had your hormones check?" And I was like, "No." And so I did a blood panel, and at 31, I had a testosterone level of 91,
which is basically nothing.
That's like woman. So no wonder I felt like shit. Wasn't recovering, wasn't sleeping good. So found out that through military, I had multiple TBIs and whatnot, which damaged my pituitary gland, which messes with your endocrine system. You get type 2 hypergonadism, which means basically you're just not, the signal to your brain is not producing enough testosterone. A lot of times it happens in military, law enforcement, firefighters just get fighters that get knocked to the head enough. Or just age. At 30, it's going down anyway. And so I became a managing partner of Core Medical Group out of Florida, or National Clinic. And when I went public, I had a surgery where they went in and basically sucked out all the sperm out of one of my testicles so we could do IVF, because I had a vasectomy. And then that's how I got my son. So I got a little 3-year-old savage running around the house.
Run home.
Yeah. And so anyways, when I came out of that situation, I basically told the internet, "Hey, listen, I'm on TRT. Have been. This is the reason why. And maybe it'll benefit you." And so we work with a lot of guys now to put them in that pipeline, because a lot of guys don't even realize, or the regular GP is like, "No, you're fine. You're 290 and you're 50. You're fine for 50. Well, I don't want to be fine for 50. I want to be great for 50. So
I checked to 50. I was 450.
450? You on it?
So I cranked it up to 1,200.
Now you go.
Which is funny, because they wanted me around 900.
Yeah.
But I just take what they tell me.
And you're at 1,200?
I'm at 12. I just did my blood check. I
bet you feel amazing.
1,297. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm all right in everything I do. And there's no injuries, you know.
Well, the thing is people don't realize, like, "Nick, how do you do what you do at your age and this and that and all these different businesses and all these different requirements and this team that you have?" Like, to be real, there's no way that I'm doing it with, not on TRT. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to recover. I'm training 8 days a week.
I've never went off it to see. So I gotta know the difference. Right now, I just think.
No, do it. That's good.
I don't feel, like, in other words, I didn't feel any better on it than I did off it. I felt great.
Yeah.
All I know is I went from 450 to 1,200. So something might have changed. I don't know.
Guarantee your recovery, your sleep, your with the way that you're able to maintain muscle mass.
My HRV last night, you measure HRV?
Yeah.
Do that wear these?
Yeah.
HRV, what was your HRV last night? My scene was 102.
102? Shit. I need to get what you're on.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
I just flew down here.
HRV right here. Bam.
You ready for
last night? HRV 102, recovery 97, sleep 100%.
You know what mine was last night?
What?
16.
Damn, you dying, dog?
I just flew here and I got like 4.5 hours of sleep. And
what's your average?
Like 50 something.
Yeah, I'm fucking blessed. Maybe you need to crank up. What's your TRT levels?
I train a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm doing jiu-jitsu 4 days a week and then lifting 3 days a week.
Yeah. My strain was 5.
What was yours?
Yeah, that's why. I'm recovered because I ain't doing shit.
Readiness? I don't have strain. My readiness score is 70. It's not horrible.
Well, I'm going to get my strain up. I'm going to get my shit going. I'm going to fix the little bit of a pussy that I still have in me.
You would kill it?
I have to, bro. Why? Because I just know that, you know, there's another level out there and I need to hit it. I need to become Brad 2.0, right?
Mm.
Like, I need to level up. I need to fucking show people and set an example. And I think that's my obligation. Because, I mean, I know I can do it. The question is, why don't I? You know, and the answer is always like, well, you know, I don't really need to. And what the fuck is he going to do? And
the reality is you don't need to.
Correct. Which is why I think I don't. But yeah. I feel like I need to, dude. I need to do the next level shit. I need to harden up a little bit.
You should do some hard shit every year in your life. Something hard.
Just cuts. Like go to Italy or something.
Smoke a cigar on a yacht in the Med.
That's difficult. That's difficult.
That's difficult.
Yeah, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. So I'm going to go do that.
That's my hard thing for 2024.
Folks, listen, stay healthy. Government wants you fat and unhealthy and out of shape and freaking weak and scared. So let's do something to do the opposite of that. Let's get in shape. Let's not be scared. Let's prepare. Let's freaking become men again. How about that? Go follow this dude. You guys already know how. If you don't, hit rewind. Appreciate you coming in, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Till next time, folks. Keep it real.